easy way.
Life is hard.
But I wrote it easy way.
Life is hard.
But I wrote it easy way.
Life is hard.
But I wrote it easy way.
Everybody stand up for easy, working hard in Hollywood. Got many celebrities ready on deck. Cali love, that's what's good. We doing work the easy way. What can I say? Carolina, yeah, the California, yeah. Making moves and carpets and major interviews. By the pop, ready and now we never lose. Never stop and never play, we go getters. Never play, just rolling the easy way. Life is hard.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Easy Talk Live on Easy Way Broadcast and powered by WTV Networks on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure to download my application by searching your Google Play or your Apple Store and search for E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. Get to have me in your pocket. How cool is that? So we got a fantastic, really fun, amazing, incredible show today. As you know, we always have really cool guests. Our first guest is a buddy of mine named Tom Tangen. Tom Tangen's the executive producer of a new movie coming out called Mansion of Blood, starring Gary Busey and many other incredible characters. They got a movie premiere happening on May 19th at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, California. And yours truly will be there walking the carpet and supporting it. Our network is sponsoring the coverage, and we'll be covering it and doing what we do, so you guys will be able to come and watch it and kind of roll along with us. And Tom has a really interesting career. We're going to get into all the nitties and gritties, the do's and don'ts, and all the fun stuff. Then after Tom, we have my good friend Kaya Redford. Kaya Redford is a celebrity success coach. Lots of amazing, interesting, cool advice. And, you know, I hung out with them at the Los Angeles Convention Center, the Cine Expo. We were both public figures on that event. We both were you know, just collecting and networking and doing what we're doing. And so we're going to be getting more and more into the nitty-gritty with that. We got the Special Olympics event with the Knights of Columbus coming up on July 23rd. I'll be hosting. Viva Doll will be performing, which is one of our artists, and she is actually represented and signed with Rads Records. And she is an amazing EDM Latin English artist. She's beautiful. She's had number one in the Billboard. She's been number one in the Billboard chart. She's had she sold over 500,000 units, formerly with Universal. She's gotten different awards. Really, really awesome lady. So Viva Doll, make sure you look that up. You can check out more on E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y blog.com. And we just signed here's the new news, the new thing. Where's the drum roll? Drum roll, please. What did we just do? We just signed a major deal and we just signed a deal for a major studio in Orange County, California. It is in Fountain Valley, 10 minutes down the street from John Wayne Airport. We'll be doing a lot of amazing productions. We signed the deal with JR Agency. We appreciate Aggie Corbin for hooking that up. And we're going to be doing some amazing productions, mixers, seminars, training-type deals, special events. We're already talking to some big A-list celebrities for some amazing productions. I'll be doing my talk show there. And so we'll be doing podcast shows, and then we'll be bringing them over to the studio and doing professional shows. We also have a deal with another studio in Hollywood, California, which is off Sunset, and we'll be doing a lot of productions there as well. Shout-outs to RhynexBay.com, which is the production partner that has that studio, and my man Sam Sarpong for hooking that up. If you go to my fans page or our fans page, Easy Way Broadcasting, you'll see the interview and the whole building and, you know, process of that whole success, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. You're listening to Easy Talk Live on Easy Way Broadcasting. We're doing things the easy way. Remember, hashtag Easy Way. Be part of the movement. Powered by WTV Networks on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Azulee and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Love All Humans Radio Show with your host.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tracy.
This is your show for positive music, talk, and entertainment, the Love All Humans Blog Talk Radio Network.
We are here to uplift your spirit and educate on all things positively human.
We have listeners of all ages.
Call in to talk with us live.
Call in to 718-766-4494. That's 718-766-4494. We are on live every Monday from 5 p.m. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we are archived and podcasted thereafter.
Topics change every Monday, so be sure to listen every week.
Also, check out our website at www.loveallhumans.com.
And email us at join@loveallhumans.com with any questions, comments, or show ideas. Also, for all your residential, commercial, or investment property needs, check out LoveAllHumansRealty.com or call me, Tracy Williams, at 562-354-1724.
We support EASY
and the EASY Way Broadcasting Network
for doing it
the EASY way.
We love you. Love all humans.
Presenting NetworkAroundWheels.com, a groundbreaking networking website that provides businesses and nonprofits with free thumbnail advertising if they uplift and inspire, as well as give back to their communities. For more information, please visit NetworkAroundWheels.com.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. Our watches are the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and international design models. HavanaWatches.com. Fine watches exclusively for you.
Hey guys, what's up? It's your favorite host, social media networking strategist, and motivational speaker, Eric Ezizuli. Okay. So check this out. Now you can connect directly with your favorite celebrities, get your own personal video message from myself and other celebrities, including actors, musicians, sports stars, and many more, including stars from Star Trek, Star Wars, wrestling, the NFL, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, and much more. Interested? Check out www.celebvm.com. That's www.celebvm.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. I'll hook you up.
Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way. Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way. Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way. Life is hard, but I wrote it easy way.
I'm Aubrey O'Day, and I'm doing it the easy way.
I'm attorney Gloria Allred, and I'm doing Hollywood the easy way.
What up, y'all? It's your partner, Big Boy, Big Boy's Neighborhood, and guess what? I'm doing it the easy way, you're doing it the easy way, all of us are doing it the easy way.
Hi, I'm Larry Namer, co-founder of E! Entertainment Television, now president of Meitong Development Group, which works mainly in China. I really wanted to say a few words about Eric Zuli, or EZ, as a lot of people know him. I just want to say, Eric, keep up the dedication, the perseverance, and the creativity. You're helping to change the media world.
Jake Busey, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Hey, Oba Babatunde here, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Shifty from Crazy Town, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Yo, this is Ray J, and it's all about doing it the easy way.
Hey, this is Brady Connell, I'm the executive producer of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and I decided to do Hollywood the easy way.
Hello, I'm Tatiana Ali, and I do Hollywood the easy way.
Hi, I'm Sally Kirkland, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Everybody stand up for EZ, working hard and high. well, that's what's good. We doing work the easy way. What can I say? Carolina, yeah, the California, yeah. Making moves, red carpets and major interviews. By the pop, ready and now we never lose. Never stop and never play. We go getters. Never play, just rolling the easy way. Life is hard.
That's why I wrote it easy way.
Life is hard.
That's why I wrote it easy way.
Life is hard.
That's why I wrote it easy way.
Life is hard.
Tom Tangen, welcome to the show.
Oh, Eric, I'm so glad you called. I'm calling you live from the haunted mansion of blood.
Oh, you're calling them.
there are ghosts and demons around every door, so I hope I can get through this interview, but I am in the mansion of blood, right now as we speak.
Wow, you're actually in the mansion, and are the ghosts are going to be our fans? Can you tell them to subscribe to my show? Can we give them my subscribe
button? Oh, my God, they have to. The easy way, that's the only way.
I appreciate it, man. Oh, dude, your resume is so amazing, and, you know, Tom, you've done so many different things, and, you know, I want to start out, normally I start out by, like, how you grew up as a kid and things like that, but one thing I found really unique and different and original, and I kind of want to highlight that you were the first one to kind of start this trend, is you have your movie premiere happening on May 19th at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, California. But not only are you doing the movie premiere for Mansion of Blood starring Gary Busey, but you're also doing an awards gala in combination with the movie premiere. Talk to us.
Oh, we're so excited, yes. The Southern California Motion Picture Council, which has been around since 1936, is going to be holding their 79th annual Founders Day Awards. They give out the Golden Halo Award, and we're so excited to be a part of that. We're giving Renee Taylor and Joe Bologna, wonderful Oscar-nominated actors, Marty Engels, legendary comedian, husband of Shirley Jones, Oscar winner, Michelle Tomlinson, a wonderful philanthropic cancer survivor and scream queen, and, of course, they're giving Mansion of Blood, the horror film of the year. So we're so excited.
Well, shout out to Michelle, man. Michelle Thomason's a good friend of mine. I'm glad that you guys are honoring her, and so it sounds like we know some mutual people. We're on the phone earlier, and we're talking about, oh, I know that person, I know this person, I know, oh, Sally's my girl, oh, so I'm, I don't know.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't also tell you that the Hollywood Appreciation Society will be there as well. It's a wonderful organization that was founded in 1928 by Clara Bow and Charles Buddy Rogers, and their first president was Gary Cooper. And I'm very proud and excited to announce I am the new president. And we are going to be we're going to be giving awards to two wonderful, wonderful legends. We give away the Golden Mask Award every so many years. And this year, TV legend Rose Marie from the Dick Van Dyke Show is going to be getting it, and Oscar-winning actress Margaret O'Brien from great films like Meet Me in St. Louis will be getting those wonderful Lifetime Achievement Awards, too. So we're really excited.
Wow. Well, you should be, man. So is this a first time heard on my show that you became president, or have you told other people?
This is the first time you are getting it firsthand, and I'm so blessed and honored. I'm excited. We're going to keep the torch going in Hollywood, keep this amazing organization going that was started in 1928. It is the oldest organization still going in Hollywood, so we're very happy. It promotes wonderful films and filmmakers.
Well, I love it. And, you know, we're also involved with the Real Cowboys. They're actually one of our accounts. You ever heard of the Real Cowboys?
Oh, love them. Oh, my
gosh.
They're coming to our event. We have dozens of the Real Cowboys coming to represent. They're going to be in our audience, right there to cheer on some of our great, great award winners. You know, we're giving George Barris the Lifetime Achievement Award. You know who George Barris is? The king of the cars. He created the Batmobile. He created the Munster coach. He is like a legend. Yes, he'll be there getting an award. And let me tell you this, Mimi Van Doren, the legendary pinup beauty, is going to be presenting George his award on stage that night.
Well, you know, we want to definitely shout out Kathleen Coven Pacino for introducing us to the Real Cowboys. I know she's involved in the project.
Oh, yeah. Kathy is in the film. She plays a wonderful role. You got to watch Kathy in the film. She's wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's, man, so, you know, we're bringing Hollywood to Orange County. We've been doing Hollywood the easy way for a long time. And so you're at the – tell us about the mansion, man. I bet my fans would love to hear.
Okay, this mansion is haunted. Okay, this mansion was built years ago by a man named Morgan Mayhew. And he was kind of a shifty character, but he was a multimillionaire. And he made all his money in insurance fraud. He traveled all over the world, basically acquiring antiquities and wonderful old artifacts and, you know, antiques that he could put in his mansion. But one thing he didn't know was a lot of these artifacts were haunted, and they're possessed by demons and spirits. So when he filled this mansion, he brought all the evil with him, and you'll see it all in the Mansion of Blood if you come and see the movie. I'm a little nervous right now because I'm in one of the rooms where actually there was a murder. And you know, every once in a while I hear some kind of a groan or a creak, and it's kind of freaking me out here, but I think I can get through this interview. But it really is a haunted mansion.
I want to do an interview with you and the whole cast of Mansion of Blood at the mansion. Let's set it up.
Oh, that can be done. I hope I can get some of them to come back because most of them swore once they left they were never coming back. Because yeah, I mean, we murder an awful lot of people in this mansion. There's about 18 different murders. And let me tell you, we have vampires and werewolves and mummies and demons and goblins. It's like a homage to the old Universal wonderful creatures. All those great historic, you know, Universal monsters will come back to life in the Mansion of Blood.
Yeah, I just did a vampire film. I played a vampire hunter, so maybe I can help you out there. We can.
I would love that. We need you. Yeah, you know, the vampires in this film aren't your typical vampires. You know, they're actually very sexy, good-looking vampires, a lot like the Twilight vampires.
Ooh. Oh, I like it. All right, I want to be in your sequel.
Yeah, the vampires in our film, they have sex first, then they kill you.
Well, that sounds intriguing. All right.
Oh, what a way to go. Yeah, what a way to go.
Exactly. So let's talk about the making of the film. And I know everything about Hollywood. I know everybody, as you know. I won't say I know everybody, but a lot of people know me, and they come to me with a lot of things. And I heard there's a couple speed bumps. I heard there's a couple controversial, troubleshooting issues.
Have you been talking to TMZ again? You know, TMZ came up with a set, and man, they just let loose on us. You know, we love TMZ, but wow, they tell every secret. I know they talked to you and told you.
I've been on TMZ over 7 times. I know a lot of people. Yeah,
yeah.
So I'll let you talk to us.
We have. Well, first of all, let me tell you some of the stars of this great film, then we'll talk about the controversy. You know, the film stars, you know, Oscar-nominated actors Gary Busey and the legendary Terry Moore, whom I think some of your audience probably know. She was one of the oldest women ever to pose naked in Playboy. I believe she was in her 60s, and she looked phenomenal. Plus, she was married to Howard Hughes. This gal has a history beyond, you know. We also have the great John Blythe Barrymore, John Barrymore III, Tyrone Power Jr., Sissy Wellman, like you said before, Catherine Coven Pacino, Calista Carradine, Robert Picardo from Star Trek fame. He's great. And we have a little cameo from Pamela Bach Hasselhoff. Beautiful, beautiful lady. But the one that I'm most excited about is we have the legendary last of the silent film stars, Carla Laemmle, in the film. Those of you who know Carla, she was the niece of the founder, Carl Laemmle, of Universal Studios. Carla was in the original 1931 Dracula with Bela Lugosi. And 100 years later, here she is in my film, Mansion of Blood. Carla was 104 when she passed away last May, and she was still acting in films. And she is like a true, true Universal horror legend. But now the controversy. Well, you know, like every film, you have speed bumps. Things, you know, I don't want to say go bump in the night, because they went bump almost every day on our set. And we did shoot 30 days or nights. You know, we had this amazing set, this wonderful mansion that, you know, we have 18 or so murders in. And there's always a few, you know, actors or, should we call them performers?
Unprofessional
who, you know, have
actors?
Issues. Well, sometimes they can get a little diva-ish. And, you know, I realize that, you know, you work, you know, 12, 14, 16-hour days on a set. It can get long and tiring. So, you know, we did have our share of issues. Some of the actors got a little cranky and tired. Some of them got a little bit bitchy. But overall, you know, we had an amazing shoot. We had so many talented actors in this film. I think if you look at the credits on the IMDb, I think we have over 100 actors in the film. So it's full of great talent. And overall, you know, I'm alive. I survived it. I was the executive producer. I was there every day, every night, every minute.
Yeah, if you can survive this one, from what I heard, Tom, if you can survive this one, you're going to be the next Michael Bay.
Well, you know, we had one actress who showed up. She will remain nameless, but she showed up on the set drunk, ready to do her scenes. You know, here she is. Put her in the scene, put her in costume, get her in makeup. She looks fantastic. Can't remember her lines. Doesn't know where she is. Collapses on the floor. Okay, what do you do? Yeah, you got to fire her. So we had to replace one of the actresses on the spot. Luckily, another wonderful actress was available, came in the next day, shot the scenes out, and I guess the rest is history.
Well, you were telling me, we don't have to mention names, but you were telling me on the phone that there was an actress that had a difficulty with, you know, doing one of the nudity scenes or something. And
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be honest with your audience. You know, the film is rated R. It's an adult film. There is nudity. There are some sex scenes, simulated sex. But for all, you know, intents and purposes, it's, you know, it's an R film. You don't want to bring little children to see it. And, you know, you hire actresses and actors to, you know, to be in these kind of films. And they know going in, they've read the script. When they accept the role and sign their contract, it says there is nudity involved. We're very clear. We're very open. I would never ask an actress or an actor to do a scene like that on the spot. They have to know way in advance, and they have to agree to that before we actually hire them. And we had one actress who, again, will remain nameless, who was signed to do a love scene, and she needed to take her top off, and it needed to look real. She refused. We got right down to the very moment of shooting. The director says, okay, now it's time to take your top off and get naked. She refused. She goes, I can't do that. I just don't feel comfortable.
Oh, wow.
And her mother happened to be on the set that day. And this girl was, you know, she was over 21, but she still had her mother on the set. Her mother was, you know, shall we say, a stage mother. You know, she wanted to be there to make sure that her daughter was
pretty. That gets the bad buzzer sound. You don't do that.
Yeah.
No, when you're on set and you make a commitment, you can't do any changes last minute. That's just a no-no.
Yeah, it sucked. You know, we had already shot half of the movie, and so she had already been in other scenes. So we basically were stuck. We had to kind of film around that, and we did the best we could. And, you know, needless to say, I'll never use that actress again. And I think that's something that, you know, let all your actors and actresses know, that when you commit to a film role, you are not playing yourself. You're playing a part. You're a character. You're an actor. Okay? You know, put all the inhibitions aside. It's funny to me. An actress can go and she can play a murderer. She can play a con artist. All these other roles, but they don't want to get naked. I don't get it. I'll never understand it. If I had the body and I looked like some of these gals, I'd be naked every day.
Well, I can agree that if they have their body and it's their choice and stuff, but if you make a commitment and you know that that's what you're going to do and you go into it with that commitment, you are an actor hired for a part. You need to do what you made your commitment for, period.
Yeah. Don't take the part if you're not going to follow through. Don't take it.
So if you guys are listening, if you don't want to get blacklisted and you don't want to, like, not, you know, you don't want to ever do that. If you make a commitment, bottom line, if you make a commitment and you're an actor and you're on set, you do what you make your commitment for. Otherwise, you're going to have problems in the future, period.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's, you know, you live and learn. You never know. As a producer, you have to deal with a lot of these prima donnas, a lot of these actors that think they're bigger than they really are. You know, I've worked with Oscar-winning actors and actresses that would never have given me the kind of trouble that this girl gave me.
I heard there's some things with Gary Busey too, because like you said, I know people with TMZ and you know, and that's just, I don't want to have you put your star on the spot, but I heard there were some same things that happened with him too.
Well, you know Gary Busey is a legend, and he's a phenomenal actor. He's an Oscar-nominated. You know, you guys have ever seen the Buddy Holly story? There's nobody that could have ever played Buddy Holly like Gary did. But, you know, as we get older and as, you know, people change and, you know, Gary, we'll just say that he has his own way of performing and arriving on the set and dealing with other actors. And I can't say enough great things about his acting, but, you know, there are always going to be other issues. And I'm not going to mince words. Gary is a little difficult to work with. And he's difficult in personal ways, much more than professional. He is a great actor. He knows his lines. He does, you know, tour de force performances. But the minute that camera's off, all bets are off. So yeah, we had some issues. I can't say a lot about it because we actually signed some non-disclosures. But I can say that, you know, I think he's a great actor, and I can say that I probably don't want to work with him again.
Okay, well, that doesn't help. Okay, so now you also, I mean, I'm definitely going to go back to the film, and I want to talk about exactly everything that's going to be involved with the premiere, but I also want to go to some things that maybe some people don't remember about you. You used to actually have a talk show on Bravo, and you've interviewed a lot of
people.
You
know, I had a blast. You know, like you, you're an amazing talk show host. You understand how gratifying and how great it is to be able to talk to legends and to talk to great stars and get their story and tell the world what they're really like. And I was very blessed a few years back when I was able to interview, you know, thousands of wonderful celebrities like Charlton Heston and Anna Nicole Smith and Dustin Hoffman, Shirley MacLaine, Halle Berry. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And for me, starting out as an actor in the business, one of the most exciting things is to be able to meet and talk to and even ask questions of my heroes, people that I grew up watching and admiring and that basically inspired me to become an actor. Mm-hmm. And I will never regret doing it. I loved it. I don't do it much anymore. I'm too busy producing and acting in other films. But the talk show was just, it changed my life. And it opened my eyes to Hollywood. And I saw the difference between a TMZ interview and, say, the old Mike Douglas style interview. And I like to say that I follow the old Mike Douglas style, and I like to ask celebrities, you know, about themselves, their lives, their families, their charities, you know, why they do what they do, why they became actors. I don't care about their divorces or their drug addictions or their alcoholism. I don't care. I want to hear the good stuff. And I think America and the whole world really wants to know what the actors are like deep down inside, you know, why they do what they do and what they feel. And so, needless to say, I've never once had an actor ever turn me down for an interview. I've never once had an actor leave the set or get up during one of my interviews.
That's where we have a lot. We have a lot in common there. I'm always like really intrigued on the stepping stones of the success and how it happened, the team behind it, and you know some of the learning tips and tricks. And yeah, you know, I mean, the other stuff is fun. It's story stuff, but you know, I like to present to my audience how they can be successful and to get information from people that have been successful and what they've done. But you got as a host, you really got to do your research. You got to really, you know, be as prepared as you can. I think research is a big part of hosting. And then at the same time, you got to listen. You got to really listen to what people are saying and be able to go off of what they're saying and know your points that you wanted to ask in the first place. Would you agree?
Oh, I agree. And, you know, for me, I'm not the Hollywood cookie cutter type host. I'm not a John Tesh. I'm not a Mario Lopez. I'm a regular guy from the Midwest. And I think
you just
wait.
You just called my boy a cookie cutter host. I'm gonna call him up. I'm gonna call him up right now and tell him, hey.
What I meant was he's a really great looking, typical Hollywood leading man, and he's got the looks, the talent. You know, I'm just a guy from the Midwest who happened to fall into the business and enjoy doing it. But I'm like talking to your neighbor. I'm not talking to your cousin or your brother or your uncle. You know, I like to have that kind of a coffee clutch kind of a conversation with people. I want to get to know them. I want to be their friend first, and then I want to tell their story. I as an actor myself, the one thing that I always thought was never ask an actor or any basically celebrity a question that you would not want them to ask of you. And so that's what's always going through my mind. Would I want someone to ask me about this or that or the other? And so, in turn, most of these people feel very comfortable, and they feel very relaxed around me, and they just open up and they tell just wonderful, wonderful stories of their lives and about their families. And that's what I like, and I think that's what America likes.
I agree 100%. And so you have done a lot of accomplishing things as an actor. Let's go to the acting side of you. And I'm trying to find you on IMDb, but there's a couple Tom Tingens here. And we were talking – oh, here it is. Okay. So you did – we were talking about my girl Claudia Wells with Back to the Future, and you said you were in
Back
to the Future.
Yes, I was in Back to the Future.
Teen Wolf.
I don't know if you – I'm sorry?
You were in Teen Wolf. You did a lot of Michael J. Fox stuff.
I love Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox is a dear friend, and he was one of the most talented actors I had ever worked with. Quick little story about Back to the Future. I don't know if you know this, but Michael J. Fox was not the first choice to play Marty McFly.
Oh, and, I didn't.
Oh, you know, he wasn't. I was very lucky. They had cast another actor to play the role. And the first 2 days that we shot, I was actually on set. My agent at the time, who was a wonderful, wonderful, you know, kids agent, was Barbara Cameron, Kirk Cameron's mom. She was my agent. And I was sent out to the set to shoot a little scene in the 50s, kind of the cafe scene. Remember the 50s diner scene?
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the kids in this movie. So we shot for 2 days with, you know, Zemeckis, who was an amazing director, wonderful, wonderful guy, talented, professional. And we had another actor on the set playing Marty McFly. Well, I get a call the third day from my agent, Barbara, saying, Tom, you got to go back to the set. They got to do some reshoots. I'm going, reshoots? What are they going to reshoot? She goes, I don't know, but they asked you for another 2 days. So I got to the set. No one told us anything. Same scene, same everything. In walks Michael J. Fox. They have recast the role. There was a problem with the first actor, who many of you know was Eric Stoltz. And Eric didn't work out. There were some problems with him and the director, and the rest is history. You know, Michael J. Fox became Marty McFly and turned into a franchise and made him a superstar. And so I was really lucky to be a part of that first very beginning. And then, of course, I shot Teen Wolf with him, and that was fun. My sister had come up from the Midwest, and Michael J. Fox had heard she'd never been in a movie before and never had even been on a Hollywood movie set. Gave her the star treatment, took her into the dressing room, gave her lunch. This man was not a diva. This man was not conceited or vain. He was the most down-to-earth, cool
guy. Let me ask you, do you know the scene when he's on the van and he's doing the backflips on a moving van? Was that like computerized or was that an actual stuntman? I mean, that was some...
Oh, I can't tell you that. That's
come on,
that's,
man.
That's Hollywood movie magic. You can't tell the story. Is that a...
Some magicians
he didn't do it
do reveal
of
their
course
tricks.
He didn't do it. You know, of course he didn't do it. But, you know, Michael J. Fox had such a charisma and such, you know, when he walked on the set, everybody looked at him. There was just something that emanated from him, and it was that it quality. He was a superstar. And he not only was a superstar, but he was a cool guy and such a nice, down-to-earth. There's really nobody like him. And even to this day, he has not changed. He is still the coolest, nicest guy. I know his family. I know his wife. And he's real. And those are the kind of talented people I love to work with, people that are real, that are honest, that do what they do because they love the art of acting. And
and you're right, I agree. But you are not in Monkey Bone with Brendan Fraser and Bridget Fonda. That is my movie.
Yes, I was. I was one of the burger gods. The scene where we're getting him to sign the contract to go do the burger company, I'm the guy that gives him the contract and gets him to sign. I'm the burger god. I had a blast doing that. You know, Brendan Fraser was such a nice guy.
I got to point this out, man. That's a big movie. Whoopi Goldberg, Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Bridget Fonda. I mean, that's a big one right there. So you're no joke. Okay.
Oh, he was fun. I loved working. That I got to tell you, that was one of the longest days I'd ever worked on a movie set. We went into golden time. Those of you who don't know what golden time is, if you are working on a set and you go over 16 hours, which is a really super long day, they start all over from scratch, and they pay you a whole other day's pay. So it doesn't happen very often because producers are pretty careful about the budget, but that was the day. Oh, my Lord. Everything that could have went wrong, but I had so much fun because I got to hang with Brendan Fraser. How cool is that?
I love it. And your IMDb star meter is in the 10,000s for this week. That's pretty good. That's pretty big.
That is so nice.
So okay, so let's talk about the premiere itself. The premiere, who's coming? Yeah. You know, what can we expect? What press is coming?
You know, like I said before, we're going to have the old-fashioned Hollywood red carpet premiere. We're going to be at the legendary Egyptian, one of the oldest movie theaters in Hollywood. And it's historic. It's supposed to be haunted, so it's perfect for our film. We have an 85-foot red carpet going from the street all the way up to the
front
door of the
Egyptian. Did you say 85 feet? That's almost as big as the Valentine's Day premiere. Wow, that's a big
movie.
Yeah,
we are throwing an old-time Hollywood movie premiere with the step. We have a 40-foot step and repeat alone. We're expecting tons and tons of press. There's going to be still photographers, videographers, bloggers, you name it, they're going to be there.
Okay, now I'm walking the carpet.
Are you providing
wheelchairs for the talent?
Well, you know, you are walking that carpet. I'm so excited. You know, Eric, you are going to be there. You are going to see all this firsthand. I'm hoping your camera guys will also capture some of it because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Our network
and
will be covered.
We have hundreds of celebrities coming. It's going to be one of the biggest Hollywood premieres in years. And I want to bring that back to Hollywood. I want to recreate the old mystique. You know, we're going to have limos pulling up. It's going to be the lights flashing. It's going to be just like you see in the movies. And
wow.
It's like my dream come true as an actor because I'm bringing this back. I remember watching.
This must be really cool for you to sit in the director's chair and watch all this happen and all your hard work coming together. And, you know, that's always
really
the most
cool.
Promising points for the producers, I think. And congratulations, Tom. Seriously, you've been doing this for a while, and this is I'm giving you an official Easy Way congratulations. I don't have any sounds for it, but
I got to tell you, you're amazing. You know, what you do, too, I think is pretty cool. You have become a brand, and that's what this is all about. You know, people will recognize you. They respect you, and they know that you really are a cool guy. And you have the same values and the same goals and the same ideals that I have and a lot of our friends have. You know, we want to keep the integrity there for Hollywood. We want to keep making wonderful, wonderful movies and television shows. And now it's like everything is online. You have the blogging. You have the Twitter. You have the Instagram. You have the Facebook. You know, it's the social media is where it's all going. And I think pretty soon you're going to be able to watch all of these great performances right through social media. And it's going to be at your fingertips. I think it probably already is. But it's kind of cool how technology has just taken off, and you're a part of that. You're a huge, huge part of that. And I appreciate everything you do. And, you know, Eric, if there's anything I can do for you, you just let me know. And I want you to be in my next film. I think you'd be fantastic.
I'd be honored.
And I need a vampire hunter, so I know I can call on you.
Definitely, yeah. Shout out to Romaine Simon and Sam Sarpong for that opportunity. And, you know, I appreciate that, Tom, and we're definitely going to do some great things together, and we're going to make a difference together, and a lot of people are going to follow the movement. Now, speaking of the stepping stones and teams, we have a thing we do called TBT. Now, the two things I want you to do. One, I want you to take pictures, and I want pictures that we're going to blog, we're going to really put out of that mansion that you're at, and I want you to give me as many behind-the-scenes pictures as you can get, and we'll do some fun behind-the-scenes stuff, a challenge of some sort. We have an Easy Way challenge that we do. We don't have time to do the Easy Way challenge, but I am going to do this. We have a TBT, talent, our team behind the talent. I want you to speak a little bit and shout out, whatever you want to do. A lot of the team behind this situation, which is so big now, that really made it happen and people that you want to shout out. So please, TBT time.
Oh, well, some of my producers, you know, you can't do it all alone. And to say that, you know, I'm the executive producer, well, whoopee. I couldn't do this without all the rest of the producers that I had on, you know, board with me. You know, there's some of the other producers are Andre Agazarian. I had Janet Winchell, who was just integral because she also handled our legal issues. I always tell filmmakers, get yourself a good attorney and make them a producer and have them working with you from day one. Make sure those contracts are signed and that they're, you know, that they're binding. We have just amazing people like our costume designer, Laura Quirez. And we had just Scott Ressler was our director of photography, an amazing, great director. If you don't have the DP captured on film, you have nothing, you know. And it's just, it's a collaboration, you know, everybody that works together and makes the magic happen. And it's definitely, you know, a team. And like I said, I'm always looking for new team members. We're always looking for, you know, fresh faces and people that are really interested in, you know, making movies, creating history, and being a part of this. You know, we want to leave a legacy behind. We want to leave a legacy like the great directors and the great producers in the past.
You know, check this out. Tom, I got a surprise for you. Since you just mentioned you're always looking for people and you're looking for great directors and people, I have a special treat for you guys. He's a very good friend of ours. He's actually on our board of directors. He's on our advisory board. His name is John Reynolds, who I put you on the phone with previously, and I want to introduce you to him again on the show. John, thank you so much for calling in, man. I know how busy you are, but thank you so much for calling in on the show. How are you doing?
Just fine. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You guys,
hey, John?
John,
nice to see you again. It's Tom here. I'm so glad you called in.
Let me make sure John gets his definitely introduction. He's done everything from E.T. to Twilight Zone. He's worked with the greats upon the greats upon the greats. He's beyond legendary on what he does, and he's, you know, we're beyond blessed to have him as part of the team. And you know, I'm blessed to put you guys together and hopefully, you know, have some great things happening. And John, we've been talking about team behind the talent, and we you know, he was talking about how he needs potential directors, this, that, and so I text you, and thank you so much for calling in, joining the conversation.
All right, well, where are we going from? I'm ready to start.
Well, I can announce here for the very first time anywhere on any show that we are now in pre-production for the prequel to Mansion of Blood, and
ooh.
I would love to send you the script. I would love to talk to you about being our director. I think it would be such a great collaboration.
Well, I'd love to see the script. We talked previously. I think what you're doing is absolutely fabulous. It's paying homage to a whole era that was great. It brought us up. It trained us. And it's fun. It's in a fun genre. You know, working with great people, it's just, you know, it's what it's all about, really. It's the work.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, for me, everything is about leaving a legacy and creating the art and the magic that movies, you know, inspired me. When I was a kid, I remember going to the movie theater, and I looked up at that big screen, and I wanted to do that someday. And here I am in Hollywood. So anybody can do it if you have the drive, the ambition, and the love. And I think the biggest thing is the collaboration. You need to find people of like minds, people that have the passion, the people that want to work on films that have the love. And that's what I'm trying to do, create this wonderful film family that can continue to make great films, you know, hopefully for the next 50 years.
I couldn't agree with you more. It took me a long while to learn. I kind of bumbled my way into the film industry. I went to theatrical college at the Pasadena Playhouse, you know, it's like studying all that kind of thing. And I love acting a lot. I mean, I really love actors an awful lot. I think a lot of them, and writers. And I'm a theatrically oriented individual, but it took me a long time to realize that what I really loved about the business was the work. I love being on the set. I love working with a crew, the cast. I love working on a good story. I just love the environment. I love the camaraderie. I love the teamwork. I've worked on shows with people that, you know, that didn't like each other, but you would have never known it when you see them work side by side. Because they're pros. And the thing that differentiates pros from all the rest, and believe me, there's a lot of people working in the business that are not pros, in my opinion, is that you just got to do it. You got to dance. You just want to do it, and you're willing to do the work, and you love it. And that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, sunglasses, autographs, and et cetera. It's, you know, because you love the work. You know, you love to dance. You know, so that's the kind of guy I am.
And those are the kind of guys that we like to work with, and that's what I surround myself with. And we're so blessed to have been able to create this great little film, and I've got a few other films coming out this year. So I love all the genres. I do comedy, I do drama, I do horror, I do documentary. I love to mix it up, and I love to have fun, and I love to use great talent. And I think you're the same way. It's all part of the art. It's, you know, and for me, it's really having fun. When I go to work, it's not like work. I go to work and I play. And that's the best thing. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better life.
Yeah. I mean, it's a discipline. It's a unique discipline too. I personally think, I know, like, for example, having not living in Hollywood now for a while, I've had contract situations come up, and if you go to a lawyer anywhere else, you know, they'll say, well, a contract is a contract. And I go, no. You got to look at an L.A. contract because it's a different animal, you know.
It is.
And so we work in a very unique industry, and there is a discipline to it. There is a craft to it, and a part of the love of it is that discipline, that craft, you know, and knowing how you fit in and where you fit in. Like, you know, like, for example, the type of director I am, since we're on that kind of subject, is, you know, I come from theater, so in theater, technically, you know, theater people, directors, don't mess with writing. If you've got a stage production, you got it up, and you're working with a new piece, you participate in that and stuff like that. But in the end, it's going to be the writer's word. And directing television is a very similar thing. You go in and you direct the actors. You know, you just work with the script, which is different than, of course, like feature films where you can, you know, have everything. So, you know, you have to know who you are, how you fit in, and if you work at it a little bit, you get to appreciate the professionalism of the business, and then you realize if you're one of those people that's got a dance, you're a shot getter, then you're going to want to work with people who are just like you, and that's how you build teams and, you know, networks, and, you know, that's how you move it on up.
Well, no,
like
I
the Jeffersons.
And, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, well, my first acting coach years ago, I come from a theater background as well, a lot of summer stock and a lot of training. My first acting coach was Jessica Tandy, the great, legendary, Oscar-winning actress. And she told me two things I'll never forget. She said, it's our job as actors to bring the writer's words to life and to bring the director's vision to the screen. And she was so smart because we're nothing without the words and we're nothing without guidance. And so I have lived by that every day of my life. And thank you, Jessica Tandy. I know you're looking down from above for giving me those wonderful words of wisdom. And now that I'm a producer, my mentor was the great A.C. Lyles from Paramount. And
that's my boy, too.
Great,
I have to say, God bless his soul.
Great.
I love A.C.
Yeah,
and I have to also say a thank you to the Multicultural Motion Picture Association, and I'm blessed to be on the board. That's where I met A.C. Lyles, and he was the legendary producer for Paramount Pictures, guys, if you're listening and you don't know who A.C. is.
He was Paramount. He was Paramount Pictures for all intents and purposes. That man was legendary. There's the A.C. Lyles building still on the lot. But he was my inspiration, my mentor, and he got me into producing. And so I guess I owe all of my producing skills to A.C., and he's wonderful, wonderful guidance.
All right, guys, I don't want to cut this short, but we do have our next segment we need to get into. And, John, I know you've worked with the greats, as big as it gets, from Steven Spielberg down. And we're very appreciative of your time, and we're so appreciative to have you on our board and to be able to get a chance to link on the show here. People are hearing it loud and in person. And we'll see the magic happen as it goes along. We also have our studio, and so you guys are hearing some like-minded individuals, some amazing people that want to make a difference and have the ability to make a difference. And, you know, hit us up if you ever have any questions. And now let me ask you guys both a question real quick, and then we're going to get to the next segment here. Are either one of you guys looking for interns, shadows, you know, do you do any mentorship type programs? Do you do anything like that?
Well, sometimes we do. We always are in need of PAs and assistants on movie sets. And like I said, you can go to our website, www.mansionofblood.com. Contact me through that. And if you want to get in the business and you want to start out, we'll put you to work. We'll give you the experience. You'll work under really great, talented, award-winning people, and you'll learn your craft. And that's the only way you're going to do it. Get on the set and, you know, get that on-the-set training.
Yeah, I think, for example, if you're just starting out in the business, starting out as a PA is the best choice, because then you get a chance to, you know, to have intercourse with every department in the filmmaking process, and then you can find out where it is that you kind of fit into that deal, and then it'll happen. You'll just get sucked up in it, and one day that'll be your job. you know, if you love it
yeah.
and if you stick to it. I've started lots of people. I love helping people out. I think that that's one of the great things about this business. It can be the most brutal industry in the world, and it can be the most generous industry in the world. I've never known an industry that could be as generous as the motion picture people can be, you know. So it's a good thing to have. And it can, and on the other side, it's always equal. They can be ruthless, too. So, it's a job.
Thank you so much, guys. Now, before I let you go, can I get you to both say, Tom, you first, John, you second. You know, hey, I'm your name and how you want to be recognized. And with conviction, I'm doing it the easy way. When I count to three, please. One, two, three.
Absolutely. I'm Tom Tangen here, actor, producer of Mansion of Blood. And I'm doing it the easy way, the only way.
And
John
I'm
Reynolds,
John
please.
Reynolds. I'm John Reynolds, and I am a filmmaker, and I'm doing it with the easy way.
I appreciate it so
and
much, guys.
Just one little thing. I wish I could be out there for the premiere of your movie, Tom. I really do. I'm sorry.
We'll get there for the next one. You're going to come to the next one.
Okay. See you guys later. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John.
See you soon.
Appreciate you, buddy. Okay. So, Tom, it's been such a pleasure, man. We definitely got to continue this. We got to get you in the studio. We got to do a whole interview with the cast and what you got going on. I can't believe 85 square. That's such a big red carpet.
God.
That's so huge. That's huge.
You'll be walking it. Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing. So appreciate it, man. You've been an amazing guest, and we're definitely going to have you back. Tom Tangen, everybody. He's executive producer extraordinaire. He's an actor. He's got an amazing movie premiere coming up, and we're definitely going to have you back, Tom. Make sure you guys follow him, TomTangen. Any last shout-outs real quick, Tom? Anybody want to shout out?
Thank you to the Southern California Motion Picture Council. They're an amazing charity group, and they've been around since 1938, and we love the Southern California Motion Picture Council.
All right, guys. So that's Tom Tangen. And coming up next, we got us. And if you want to stay with us, Tom, you're more than welcome to. But we got an amazing guest. He's a very good friend of mine. He is a celebrity success coach, motivational speaker. He's doing amazing, positive things. We just had to highlight it. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Easy Talk Live on Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks. Hashtag Easy Way.
Finally, something to look forward to on Monday morning. I'm Aretha Gray from Betty White's Off Air Rockers, and I've teamed up with Easy's dad, Jim Zuli, to rock your world on Baby Boomers Live. That's right. Every Monday morning at 10 a.m., we will be discussing all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. So, tune in to EasyWayBroadcasting.com on BlogTalkRadio.com to see what Jim and I are up to. Your Mondays will never be the same.
Hey guys, what's up? It's your favorite host, social media networking strategist, and motivational speaker, Eric Easy Zuli. Okay, so check this out. Now you can connect directly with your favorite celebrities, get your own personal video message from myself and other celebrities, including actors, musicians, sports stars, and many more, including stars from Star Trek, Star Wars, wrestling, the NFL, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, and much more. Interested? Check out www.celebvm.com. That's www.celebvm.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. I'll hook you up. All right, guys, you are ready. Are you ready for our second guest? Our second guest is an incredible entrepreneur. Known him for a long time. Proud of him to call him a friend. Shout-outs to my good friend Brooke Shire for the introduction. You always got to give props to your stepping stones to success. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Kaya Redford. Kaya is master certified and a trainer's trainer in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. And timeline therapy from the initial board of Pure Precision, NLP, American Board of Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and the American Board of Hypnotherapy, and is timeline therapy. His distinguished company, Kaya Redford Success Coaching, LLC, is proud to be a leading provider in success NLP sales and leadership mastery programs with impeccable record of success. Kaya has been a featured guest four times in a row on OWN, Oprah Winfrey's network recap show. He co-hosts a weekly radio show on LA Talk Radio and has also authored a book called When Is Now the Time to Become a Master of Influence, 10 Principles of Mastery. Very accomplished individual. We're proud to have him on the show. And welcome, Kyle Redford.
Awesome, Eric. Thank you so much.
Hey,
thank
man,
you
we're
so
we're
much for the very amazing introduction.
We're blessed to have you on, man. Well, I gotta give you your just desserts. You've worked really hard, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show, man. We're excited to have you on, and I gotta start with what the heck is NLP, neurolinguistic program? Sorry, I'm a foreigner to that one.
I hear you. First, I would like to really acknowledge Eric. I know you've got a lot of viewers and listeners that follow you around the world. You take leaders and you help them get on the map at an even higher level in their life. And I just want to say it's a real honor. We met a few years back. I think it was a party for the wasn't the Oscars. It was the Grammys. And I just remember you walking in. You had your bodyguard, and you had a presence about you that I said, "This guy is somebody." I don't know who he is yet, but this guy is somebody. And soon I learned a lot about what you do and truly admire you as a man, as an individual, and honored to share this time with you on this radio interview.
Thank you. That's real big coming from you, Kai. I appreciate that. And, game recognizes game, man, right back at you. And, it's not just about the success. It's about what you're doing with the success and doing with the gifts that God gives you, I think. And
yes.
You're doing some amazing things. I'm doing some amazing things. And so we need to put the Kyle Redford style the easy way together. Something big is going to happen. But let's do an interview now. What do you think?
Absolutely. I'm down for that. Yes.
What is this? This neurolinguistic program? I mean, how are you a success coach? Let's get to know you a little bit.
Well, I guess I would start, how I got involved in success coaching. I think around 33 years old was when I was failing at pretty much everything imaginable in life, in business and relationships. My health was going to shot. I was having heart palpitations. I was so stressed out. I was running a real estate company, paying out more than the company was making, and I was just taking on way too much stress. And I remember one day I looked at the assistant I had at the time, and I said, we got a meeting coming up today. I would like for you to pay very close attention to where we go and how close the nearest hospital is. And she just looked at me like I was crazy, like, what's going on?
I can relate to you there, man, especially the health thing.
I just told her, I said, I feel like at any point my heart is just going to explode. I'm just going to, keel over and die in front of everybody. And she just thought it was the most ridiculous thing. Obviously on the outward appearance, everything seemed fine. But inwardly, I was just going through so much stuff. And unfortunately, as with many people in life, or should I say fortunately, hardships that we've endured early on in life sometimes come back to haunt us. So, my dad was definitely a workaholic, wasn't around very much. My mom was amazing. They're both amazing individuals. My mom ended up being a little bit of an alcoholic because she felt neglected by him. And, just a lot of things in childhood that were great, but then a lot of things that were pretty dysfunctional. So I think that all those things came back to haunt me. In my early 30s, I couldn't hold down a job. I couldn't create success in anything. Everything was around me was just falling apart. And it was when I watched or heard about the movie The Secret, people had been telling me, watch this movie. And I just so frustratingly and reluctantly put that DVD in, and I watched it. And it was the first minute, that Bob Proctor, one of the guys in The Secret, Reverend Michael Beck was in there, Jack Canfield, and a bunch of other great people are in there too. It was that first minute where this guy, this tall, skinny, white guy with his gray hair says, you create your experience of reality. You create, your results. And I just looked at this video and I said, well, this is some bullshit. Why would I create, I'm nearly dying right here. Why would I create that? So I was totally in the wrong mindset. I was very much in a as I call in my seminars, ad effect, or most people would know that as the victim role. I just felt like a victim of life. Life hasn't treated me well. I was bitter. I was angry. I was frustrated. And because I couldn't attack anybody with that, I was so conscious of other people's feelings. I internalized it, and I beat myself up. I attacked myself on a daily basis. So I watched this movie, and there was a moment of truth that pierced, almost like straight to my soul. And the question came to my mind, what if he's correct? What if I just created this? What if I just created this whole situation? And what if I have the power that I've created such misery in my whole life, what if I have the power to uncreate it and to change it? In other words, like at the gym, when people say close to midnight and they're about to close the gym, they usually say to people, okay, re-whack your weights. If you're strong enough to pick up the weight, you're strong enough to put the weight back. And that was the thing. I was like, if I'm this good that I can create all of this misery, then I've got to be good enough to put it back and create something different. And then that's what got me kind of started with learning from these great people. I studied with him. I studied with pretty much everybody from the hit movie The Secret. And then I studied with then I came and stumbled on to this NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is what you're just about to ask me about.
Well, you know, before I get into that, what I'm just listening to you talk, and I would love to hear your point of view on how do you get in with big people when you have that networking opportunity?
Great question. Well, you know, you had asked me about neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, which is really the study of human excellence. What it does is it teaches you how to do that. Some people have it natural. You know, we meet people that are just naturally charismatic. It's almost like they were born that way. They're great at saying jokes. They're great at relating to people. They're extroverts. And they just have a natural way of building a connection with others. But little do people know that that's actually something that can be learned and mastered for the person that's the greatest introvert. For anybody. Anybody can master, learning how to connect with others. The very first principle that I learned kind of early on is that when you want to associate with successful people that are perhaps even more successful than you are at that moment, be of service to them. A lot of people are kind of coming from, and maybe I was too. I mean, we've all been in this place at some point that we're there to get something. And when I learned that, you know, my job and my role is not to get something, my role is to come in and contribute to someone who perhaps is even more successful and add value to their life, then, you know, they don't feel like taken. They feel a reciprocal energy that you're supporting them. They'd like to support you back. So coming from a giver's mentality is obviously a huge thing. And our results, all of our results are measured by our success is measured by our results. So when we're giving people results, they look back at us and now they find it valuable and they keep us in their lives.
Okay. I love that. That's great advice. Great information. You know, we have, you're familiar with LATIP International, right? You saw our section at the Ascent Expo. Did you get a chance to, their booth was actually pretty close to your guys's. Now that I think about it.
Absolutely. Yes.
So,
Ascent Expo, by the way. Yes. Very good job. I know next year it's going to be huge. And the year after that, and it's this growing revolution.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so the LATIP International is one of our partners. The president's a very good friend of mine. And the producer that actually, you know, coordinated Aggie Corbin for the Ascent Expo, myself and the president of LATIP International, which has been around for over 40 years. And they are a networking organization to connect CEOs. We're getting together at our new studio. We just did a deal with a studio in Orange County. It's 22,000 square feet. And we're doing an event to teach and mentor train technology marketing and how not to fall behind in the wave of how things are going. And I think you'd be an amazing asset to be involved in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find that, one person that's joined our company very recently as our global strategist, her name is Veronica Larea. She's very big on systems and, implementation and marketing tools and, you know, the internet and everything. And I'm very strong on people, on specifically how to give people or help people tap into their true power, in inner power, their inner confidence, their focus, their effective communication, their ability to, you know, own the stage of their life, create the life that they want to create. And what we do is we work together. So I totally get that. You know, when you've got systems and marketing and you've got someone that can help people tap into their own, you know, focus, their confidence, their own internal resources. You know, the mind is probably our greatest asset. You know, mind and our hearts, of course, our hearts as well, are our greatest asset. And so being able to tap into both is so critical.
Yeah, so, no, we'd love to introduce you into that. And, everybody that's listening, remember you can download my application. You can see everything we have on our calendar. We always have positive situations. And it's going to be called the Tech Works Expo. So I just want to make sure I throw that out there. And so let's put you to the test, Kaya. Do you mind?
Awesome.
All right, we're going to put you to the test. You said that you know how to get into people's heads and you know how to, you know, basically, I guess, help them network themselves to success. It kind of sounded like if I was to symbolize it, am I correct?
Yeah, it's so many things, and that would probably be one of the things, is to get
into
people.
Do it with me. Do it with me. I'm your student.
Okay, awesome. So
on air right
what
now.
Perfect. What I usually love to ask always before we start is, what is the person's goals? Because what I like to do is, as a coach, success coach, I take on the person's goals as if they are my own. And then what I do is I ask them what, if any, are any blocks or challenges that in the past up until now have, you know, hindered or got in the way of, or maybe even just slightly slowed down their pursuit of their goals. And then
I take on those
challenges as well.
So let me answer your question. My goals originally was, you know, I enjoyed rapping and producing and I did sales and stuff, and then I got into hosting. I liked hosting and I wanted to be a, you know, bigger and better host. And as that progressed, I got into PR and social media and promotions and, corporate sales and all this new stuff. And I've had a little bit of my hands in every cookie jar. You know, it's starting to turn into a little bit bigger of an empire. And so now my goals have changed. I actually would like to be a high-level talk show host, because I know that if you're a talk show host and you're on television, or even if you're in a real big platforms on the internet, you're really respected and you're able to connect a lot of dots. And I've always been that person that, you know, I enjoy getting to know people and really figuring out what they're about. So I want to be a talk show host, but also slash, I guess you could say, digital branding expert, social media networking strategist, you know, training professional, marketing guru, whatever. But, you know, a CEO that owns a company that's able to do a lot of things. So I'm not going to compare myself to anybody, but I want to be a very established talk show host that's also able to make a lot of money with the company and help people on a nonprofit basis.
Awesome. Those are huge goals, and I totally see that. Would give you the biggest platform to share the biggest gift with not only you, but all of the amazing leaders that you're associated and affiliated with. So I've written that down. And what would you say in the past up until now are maybe, and this is where we get, you know, kind of brutally honest. A lot of people, when I ask them about their challenges, they kind of, you know, they go, oh, I have none, or they don't want to talk about it.
I got nothing to hide. Let's go.
Yeah, go for it. Any challenges or problems or blocks or anything that's hindered or hampered or you know, has stood in the way of you already having that talk show and already being on that global level. Now, the fact that you will be is a fact, but however, let's say the past up to now, if there's been anything that stopped it from happening already, what would you say that is?
That's easy. Haters that are not happy in seeing my growth. The financial situation, which is everybody's problem, and sanity and the team, which I'm still growing. It's getting a lot better now. There's a lot of people that are coming around, but those would be the three biggest blocks, I think, is the stress level, the sanity, health, things like that, financial, and then, challenged and I guess you could say jealous individuals.
Jealous individuals. Okay, so I really want to acknowledge you, Eric. I know we're friends and all, And I know that you're being very transparent on air. And I think that's absolutely huge. And that allows for all of us, me included, and everybody else tuning in, to get real as well. I'm just gonna go down the line with a few of the different things, and I don't really honestly know what I'm gonna say. I will just kind of feel it out and lead with my intuition a little bit, because what I usually do is I do a detailed personal history with a person that takes two or three hours to get all of the questions. You know, there's a whole 30, 40 questions to really understand where they're coming from, what we call the map of their world. You know, what their relationships have been like growing up, how they've got to how they've become, and what their belief systems are, and then finding out what works, what could be improved, and what could be better. But in light of the fact that we don't have that much time to do that, let me just touch on a few things. I love the fact that you want to be a talk show host. I think, we look at someone like Oprah Winfrey and how, of course she's had many haters. I don't think she really cared, though, right? Mm-hmm. She's contributed so much to humanity. And so having haters is just part of the territory. And you know, it's a simple lesson is, just send them love. Kill them with kindness. You know, I used to have haters, back in the day. And I noticed for me, I'm just being transparent, I thought, I look back and I go, well, I had an ego problem. So for me, I think because I didn't put out pure energy at that time, I felt like I drew a little more hating. And when I grew and I became more humble in my process, and I actually looked at who used to be haters, because they weren't even haters anymore, and I just sent them love and I gave them positive energy, and I included them. So, you know, you look at Abraham Lincoln and some of the great leaders of history, they've surrounded themselves with their greatest antagonists, because it was the people that had differences of opinion and their diversity that made them actually even stronger as leaders. And it showed that they were able to give their power away, even to people that would seemingly be, haters. So a way to embrace them is to find out who they are, what they're looking for, and to build a connection, a rapport with them. Obviously, you're not going to relate to someone who can't be bridged. Except the person themselves are so hell-bent on being a hater, and they're so destructive, then you don't need them in your life. However, there are some of them that just don't understand you, don't relate, that there hasn't been a connection or a bridge made to them, so they're left with this assessment that I'm going to hate on Eric Zulli because he's successful. But there are people in that group that can be bridged. In other words, can be connected to and can be brought into your world, into your camp, with a lot of discernment on your part. So you have to be careful with that. You have to just make sure that you're a good read of people. That would be the first one. Financial. Financial is, it's
you're going to give me some money, Kaya?
Yeah, how about that?
Financial. Let me have some money.
I'm not the expert in raising money. I have, on our staff, we have 12 coaches already. KRSuccess.com is our website. We have 12 coaches, and we have people that are experts in different things. I just know one thing, and that is when you have an idea and you have a following and you show your proof of concept. In other words, when you have a product that, you know, just look at Ellen DeGeneres, you know. What does she do? She constantly finds people that have this unique gift. They're on YouTube doing something. The last one was this guy on a treadmill who said he was bored on his treadmill at home, and what he decided to do is he starts doing these somersaults and flips and reverses and all these crazy moves on his treadmill just to brighten up his, because he hated doing treadmill. Well, that's on YouTube, goes viral. Next thing you know, he's on her show and he gets exposure. So a lot of times, I don't think it takes money to make money. A lot of people have that perception. And let's just say if it's true, then that really doesn't spell a very good, it's not a very empowering thought.
It does to some effect. It does to some effect, but you can trade your way through a lot of things. But no, you do need to have money to some effect. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, no. So, obviously money, it takes money to pay the web developers, to pay people to do certain things. But it doesn't take money to have an idea and a mission and a vision that attracts all the resources, places, and things to make it happen, including the money. It doesn't take money to have the idea that attracts the money. So if we focus on, if we focus on you just nurturing your gift, getting out there continuously, you know, beating the pavement, meeting more people, putting them on your show, eventually what's going to happen is a tipping point where enough people are going to say, let's just freaking give the man his own talk show. Yeah, let's just give the man his own talk show. He's now with Anthony Hopkins. He's with Steven Spielberg. He's with all these people, and he brings out humor. He brings out things out of him.
Well, I wish I was with Steven Spielberg. I'm associated to his camp somewhat, very, very small, very somewhat. But, yeah, I don't want to get anything.
But you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see what I mean. What's going to happen as you continue, you know, look at what's your name, Madonna. How many years? A lot of people just think Madonna's been this huge artist her whole life. They forget that she spent decades plus, almost 10, 15 years as an unknown, going through all the schools, learning dance, learning sing, learning to sing, all this stuff, and was completely unknown to anybody. And it was all the hard work day in, day out, and her perseverance that got her to be where she is. It didn't happen overnight. Now, you know, when you're 20 years into this and you don't have your talk show, then let's talk. Right now, you might be that acorn that is going to become the oak tree. You might be that embryo that's going to become that baby in 9 months. You might be that a planet that's going to revolve around the Earth, around the sun within a few months, and you're just in the process of getting there to the location that you're going to end up at. And so embrace where you're at and that it's a journey and that you are on that journey. The question I would ask you is what's working and what's not working? In other words, as you're on that track, is there something that's working? Are you getting results in a certain area that's really, really working? Because we can talk about the 80-20 principle, Pareto principle, which says that 80% of our results is going to come from 20% of our efforts. 80% of our income, 80% of our success is going to come from 20% of our efforts, while the other 20% of our results is going to come from 80% of our efforts, which means a lot of people's focus needs to be channeled and crystallized to what's the most productive activities they do on a daily basis. So my question to you is, what's working about what you do?
Okay.
What's getting the best results right now for you in your life?
I think the fact that I want to support nonprofits and I want to give back relates to a lot of people, and they see the message and the reasoning behind what we're doing. They're a little confused on what it is that we do. I think simplifying it and finally getting an amazing website that represents the capacity we want to be looked at as a network has been something that's really, really worked. But, you know, mainly just trying to give back, I mean, the number one question I ask people when I meet them is not who are you and what you can do, but how can we make a difference together? And then it kind of flows from there.
Absolutely. Okay, so those are the things that you feel are creating the greatest momentum, the 80% of your results right now. And I love that. You know, what can we do together? It's really, it's called teamwork instead of independent work. I used to want to be Tony Robbins, but I used to want to be the guy up on stage who trains the masses. And I had a shift in thinking after I went to open heart surgery, which we didn't we haven't even talked about yet, but I almost died.
Wow! Let's go there. You had open heart surgery?
I had open heart surgery 8 months ago.
Yeah, wow,
I had open heart surgery. They had to cut my whole chest open. They had to saw my sternum bone, which is the vertical bone that's between all the ribs. Open it up. Stop my heart. Cut out part of my aorta, which was swollen or too big, I guess, dilated, and then replace it with a graft and then bring me back to life. So the reason why I mention that is because I used to want to be the guy. You know, everybody has their own ego battle, right? I wanted to be the guy. And what I realized after getting out of open heart surgery.
When I met you back in the day with Brookshire, you had a little bit of an ego on you.
For sure. No, for sure. No, I wouldn't even say a little bit. A lot of it. And what I would say is, you know, I almost had shit that I thought it didn't even stink. I thought it smelled good. You know what I mean? So that's just one of the things that we all go through, a learning curve. And when I came out of open heart surgery, I couldn't even speak. And I had people that paid for a seminar that were waiting there, and I couldn't even speak. And I had to look for support for other people to speak. And when other people that I had trained got up and spoke and I sat there, I actually had a breakthrough. I realized, oh, my gosh, my students are so freaking amazing. The audience loves them, embraces them just as much, if not even maybe even more than me. I just need to empower leaders to do what I do. It's not about me anymore. It's about the community. It's about us as a group. So that was a shift in thinking for me. So let's get back to that point we were talking about. So the things that were working for you, you mentioned, are great. Teamwork, not being an independent player, but being a team builder, a leadership builder, a leaders builder. John Maxwell talks about there's a lot of leaders that think they're leaders because they lead followers. Well, some leaders don't even have any followers, so they're certainly not leaders. And a leader that does lead followers, yes, is a leader. He says, but a leader that really makes a difference is a leader that leads leaders, you know, that leads leaders, because it's the law of addition, or the law of multiplication. But let's get back to that point. So the 80% results you're getting is from this specific area. So where are you putting perhaps what's not working? What is the 20% results that you're getting from 80% of your time? What's an area where it's not producing the results, but yet it's taking so much time on your hands to do?
Oh, it's easy. Sales. I'm doing all the sales, and I don't really have enough of the team to present to people what it is that we do and what it is that we have, especially now with all of our partnerships and what we have. It should be cake, but I'm the only one doing it.
So this is huge. So this would be the breakthrough for today's show. The breakthrough for today's show is, I was listening to the tail end of your last segment with your amazing guys you had on the last segment, and you were talking about do they have people that would like to learn how to, you know, shadow them, interns and so forth. You have a great community. You have people that love you and buy into your vision. So put a message out there. Number one, first, if I was in your shoes and I had leaders and they're just all waiting for me to sell, I'm going to say I have a problem with that. You know, we all have to put skin in the game. You can't wait for me, Eric Zulli, to sell you. Why don't you sell yourself, sell the rest of us, and as a group we can all commit to selling? Because really, at the end of the day, people think selling is bad. Yeah, selling's not bad. Selling is nothing more, nothing less than selling value to the world, selling the value that we bring to the world. It's one of the most noble things you can do, because when you're selling, you're bringing value to the world. A person that's not selling is a person that's holding back their gifts and their talents from the world. So what I would do is I would get all your leaders on the phone, and I would say, okay, I'm going to step up. I'm going to do it. You're going to do it. How many of us are going to do it as a combined force? We all commit to 1 hour of prospecting per day, 1 hour of selling, not just our own program, but selling the mission and the vision. Because what you're doing, Eric, is you're building a castle. You're building a kingdom for everyone to flourish in. Why is it your job to sell the vision of that kingdom and not everybody's job to do it, that empire? Everybody's job is to participate and put that sweat equity to build the vision with you, and for it to not all rest on your shoulders.
I agree, so and I have tried to do that with many occasions, but again, this is where not having the.
Let me ask you a question. So that's a great point. So you've tried to do it. So then, what we teach in NLP, by the way, NLP is, I'll just give a quick 30 seconds. So if I refer to it, people go, well, he keeps referring to it, but I don't even know what the heck it is. NLP is the study of human excellence. It's been around since 1971-72, founded by Richard Bandler and John Grinder. Tony Robbins picked up a lot of NLP from Richard Bandler. Ronald Reagan was the very first president heavily trained in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. He was called the great communicator. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Oprah Winfrey got out of an NLP training about a year and a half ago. Richard Branson, a lot of the people that we know that have tremendous success have studied it. So NLP, neuro, how we think, neurology, our nerve system, how we think, our belief systems, and so forth. Linguistic, language, how we communicate. And programming is basically our patterns of behavior and our emotions. NLP explores the relationship between those three things. The neuro, how we think, our mindset, for sure, is a huge proponent of our success or our failures in life. Number two, our language, how effectively we communicate. Ronald Reagan considered a great communicator for a reason, because he learned NLP language. And three, our patterns of behavior and our emotions. And what NLP illuminates is when all three of those are at a standard of excellence, and when they are on the same page, we have power, we have influence. When all three of those are not on the same page, like some people have stinky thinking. They think, okay, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. That's basically, you know, it's their mindset is not congruent with their goals. They have goals, but they don't think they can achieve the goals. You know, they don't think they're good enough, smart enough, beautiful enough, tall enough, thin enough, you know, white enough, black enough, whatever it is.
Gotcha. One second, Kyle. 1 second. We got to make sure we give our drops to our partners. We got 4 minutes left in the show, guys. We wanted to give our thanks to our syndication partners, Soul Central Magazine out in the UK, Genesis Radio Birmingham, FM Radio, Music That Pays Magazine, In the Cut Magazine, all of our partners, LA Talk. You mentioned that you're on LA Talk Radio. We also work with Dr. Soul Snyder with LA Talk Radio. And all the people that support us, Actors Reporter, Actors Entertainment, this show will be syndicated to some of those platforms, and we're in the midst of building the whole Easy Way magazine. We appreciate all of our sponsors, supporters, and partners. You can't do anything without the TBT, Team Behind the Talent, and that's what it is. So go ahead. Bring it right back, Kaya. Sorry to interrupt you.
I, you know what? You are a great communicator, Eric, you know, and so what I would do if on another occasion is I would sit down with you, we would have a chat, and I would figure out what the block is. Because what we teach in NLP is that our communication is the response we get back. A lot of people think, my communication is what I just said. I just told the guy to, you know, go there and pick this up and bring it back, and he brought it back 4 hours late, and he brought the wrong thing. It's all his fault. A lot of people think they're
and
victims
who are some
of other
people. Who are some of your clients? Who are some of the people that you've helped?
Oh, we work with the mayor of Ontario. We work with the city organizations. I can't mention specifically which ones. However, they're the biggest city organizations. We do conflict resolution. We do organizational values alignment. I also do sales and leadership trainings. We've done Bank of America, New York Life, which is the oldest insurance company. It's about 180 years old. It's insured 16 U.S. presidents. We've done NLP trainings for them. Keller Williams, Century 21. We've trained the number one Century 21 office in the world, Century 21 All-Stars, and Pico Rivera, number one out of 17,000 offices. And, you know, it's you know, we're starting to get into the entertainment arena. We've got the Power Rangers. You probably know Najee.
Najee's been my boy forever, man.
They're involved.
We helped. We helped with the social media in the beginning, but all right. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time. We have about a minute left, so I definitely want to bring you back, Kai, and we'll definitely be talking on how we can make a difference together and what we can do. We've been going back and forth with this for years and years and years. I think it's time. So let's definitely have you back. I don't want to have the system just cut off on you. We got about a minute and 30 seconds left. So, guys, you've been listening to Easy Talk Live. That was Kyle Redford. I hope you enjoyed the show. We had the wonderful Tom Tengen on the show. Tom Tengen is executive producer, actor extraordinaire. He's got a major movie premiere coming out this May 19th at the Egyptian Theater. Kyle Redford, make sure you check out krsuccess.com and go to our website, easywaybroadcasting.com. Download our application. You can do it the easy way as well. Join our group, Hollywood the Easy Way, on Facebook, and, you know, be a part of the positive movement. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. We got more wonderful guests. Kyle, real quick, let me get you to say, I'm Kyle Redford. I'm doing it the easy way.
I'm Kyle Redford. I'm doing it the easy way.
All right, here we go. Catch you guys next week.
Never play, we go getters. Never play, just rolling the easy way. Life is hard, I roll it easy.
You have been listening to Easy Talk and doing it the easy way on Easy Way Broadcasting with your host, internationally known radio and TV personality, actor, producer, and social media expert, Eric Easy Zuli. His work has been recognized by Congress. The city and county of Los Angeles have honored him with an award in his name. To find out more about Eric and Easy Way Broadcasting, follow him on Twitter at Eric Zuli and check him out on HollywoodItGuy.com. Thank you for listening.